So let's start with some perspective this morning. There are many examples in God's word of people who are motivated by their own self-interests. There are state and religious leaders whose quest for power guides their actions. There are the Ninevites who lived evil lives because their society accepted that way of life. And there were the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were a people of high social status, and they were responsible for key religious duties, including maintaining the temple. They performed many state roles as well, including collecting taxes, building a military, and served as mediators during disputes. They followed the Torah and gave full respect to the written law within it. Among those laws were the rule that property rights followed male lineage. They did not believe in fate, but believed in the free will of humanity. And they believed in complete and total mortality, that once dead, there was nothing else. No afterlife, no streets lined with gold. Resurrection did not exist. In today's scripture, we find the Sadducees engaged in conversation with Jesus. Now, this would likely have been a very tense relationship, as Christian teachings would have opposed the views and threatened the power of the Sadducees. Like so many others, they attempted to challenge Jesus with a scenario in which they thought surely they would win. So they create a hypothetical situation. They lean in on biblical text in the law presented in the book of Deuteronomy, where the word talks about the importance of extending family lineage through marriage. They create a scenario where a series of seven brothers all follow the law as written, yet none provide a son needed to extend the family name. They then challenge Jesus on the fact that if there is an afterlife, all seven would be around. And the question of which one is husband to the widow is asked. But the Sadducees, like so many others, neglected to acknowledge that the ways of humanity on earth are not the ways of God's eternal kingdom. As Christians, we're taught that, yes, we are created in the image of God, and that we are, in fact, mortal to this world. At some point, our time here will end. But we're also shown in the resurrected Christ that the kingdom we enter doesn't play by the same rules as the earth we live on now. As a result, at any time that we apply earthly thinking to a heavenly eternity, we're going to get it wrong. Jesus shares that in the resurrection, we enter a different life, one with joy in many new ways. And Jesus shares that the same Moses the Sadducees are quoting in their example is the one who referred to God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, reflecting the reality of resurrection. So the reality of this example is that a people, driven by their own desires, ask the wrong question based on an incorrect vision of the future. They try to justify their actions and viewpoints in the here and now based on a future they have no way of understanding. As we prepare for one of the more significant elections in our nation's history this coming week, many are handling things in ways similar to the Sadducees. They try to project what a future with Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton as president might be like, and based on that vision, how they might need to act to realize the goals and dreams they have for themselves. The attempt at predicting an uncertain future has caused a tremendous amount of stress in our society. According to the American Psychological Society, approximately 52% of Americans say the presidential race is a somewhat or very significant source of stress in their lives. The stress is close to equally strong, regardless of which political party you belong to. Those registered as Democrats, about 55%, and Republicans, about 59%, are statistically equally likely to say the election is a very or somewhat significant source of stress in their lives. Social media has made that stress worse. 38% of those surveyed say that political and cultural discussions on social media cause them stress. And adults who use social media are more than half as likely to feel stress from the potential future following this upcoming election. And allowing ourselves to feel that stress, we are making the same mistake that the Sadducees did. We attempt to use our flawed thinking that we can predict the future to decide and justify our current actions, when instead, we should be focused on how we are called to act in our current place and time, and allow the future to unfold as it will, with new rules and new requirements. This week, Krista Carlson wrote an article for the Hartford Courant's Fresh Talk feature. Krista is a senior at Middlebury College, majoring in environmental policy, and also a member of the First Congregational Church of Granby. Krista titled her submission, "What to Do the Morning After the Election." She stated in the beginning, there was a picture that she painted where we'll wake up on November 9th, and we'll all likely start our days the same way that all the previous days had started. For you, that might be having a cup of coffee while reading posts on social media, or watching the morning news while getting your exercise on a treadmill, or heading out at the crack of dawn to start your workday. Krista points out that regardless of the election outcome, we're not going to see some sort of drastic change on the morning of November 9th. But more importantly, she points out that the people who will really decide the future direction of our country are each of us. It's not about changing what we do to match some sort of predicted change our future president makes. It's about acting the way we are called because it's our role while here on earth to prepare ourselves for a very different resurrected life later. Krista states, if this election has taught us anything, it's that people are frustrated by the status quo. Career politicians, racism, the degradation of women, outsourcing of jobs, and more. We have a strong sense that our government in the current state it's in isn't working for everyone. But we are deeply divided on how to make it work. Some people are frustrated by the way others are expressing their frustration. If we let the concerns behind this frustration fizzle on November 9th, we're turning our backs on any chance at real progress. We must lean into the frustration and do some serious thinking about where it's coming from. She continues, we can't look to Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump and blame them for being terrible. We must accept that they are products of our society. We see this in our political system, the way we treat each other, and the way we define success. This is where the real work begins, in recognizing that we collectively have created the conditions in which these candidates thrive. So instead of letting the stress build up inside us, not knowing what future holds for us or what our future government will look like, and choosing to let that stress and frustration drive us into hate and harm, we should be compelled to find the common ground we stand on and in Christian fellowship seek solutions which overcome the struggle we all universally feel. That means we are far closer to the right path in providing jobs, when we expand each other's network of people we know, that ultimately leads to the unemployed and underemployed finding work that is both fulfilling and sustaining. It means we're far closer to the right path in civil justice when we insist that every human being is to be treated with respect and dignity, and that we will not accept insults or degrading comments being used to tear down our fellow people. It means we're far closer to the right path in women being people and not objects when we stand up against those men who would accept locker room talk as an acceptable way to treat our sisters and daughters of our society. It means we're far closer to the right path of the honor and respect people equally deserve when we insist on not allowing the commercial interests of the energy industry to stomp on an entire Native American people and promises society made to them centuries earlier. It means we're far closer to the right path when we focus our energy and our action on doing things out of love while turning away from choices made out of fear. The resurrection world is there in our future. It's built on different rules for a different time in our existence. Working toward that future is choosing today to not stress about a result we don't individually control, but to take actions that we do control, to become more like Jesus every day we have here. Because what comes next will not be the result of a single political race in a single year in a nation's timeline. What comes next will be the result of choices we each make in this time, in this place, based on the purpose we each serve on this earth.